Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with retired FBI Special Agent Robin Dreeke and Hidden Killers contributor about the case of Ashley Benefield. This is the 24-year-old model and ballerina who married Doug Benefield, 30 years her senior, a couple years back in 2016, had a fairly tumultuous relationship from everything that we have learned. She became pregnant with their child, and during that time period, things kind of went to hell. She started a business with some of his money that he lent to her. That failed. Apparently, things did not go very well after that. She had moved in with her mother for a while. They kind of went back and forth for quite some time, sparking a big custody battle with Doug. There had been previous reports of domestic violence claims against Doug, all of which were closed with no charges filed. And then eventually, on November 4th, 2020, September 27th of 2020, Ashley shot Doug multiple times in their home, claiming self-defense, that he was coming at her and that she had no choice. And the stand your ground rule and law is what's being tested right now in Florida. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes, because in the hearings, if it is deemed as she was doing stand your ground, that's it. There's no trial. She is out and she is free. If they believe that it was not stand your ground, then we're going to see a trial take place here. Let's talk about something like this where there's not a ton of physical evidence to show. And I don't know that unless there's a camera on the people, you'll never truly know exactly what went on in that house. If this was truly stand your ground, how does one make a judgment on that accurately? A judge specifically making a judgment on that accurately when trying to look at a case like this, when you don't have literally a video or something or a witness other than her stating that I had no choice.
So what's interesting about this tragic one, there's two things that struck me. One, it'd be interesting to take a look at how many, you know, what's the percentage of age gaps that end in tragedy, that kind of magnitude. I mean, it's, again, I'm not being an ageist because I'm that guy's age, you know, and sure. Basically that's my daughter's age, yep. You know, and so, okay. My first human side goes, why? Okay. Just, I'm not saying that there isn't true love, but why? You know, that's it. I think more of these things end horrifically than they do healthy. But the second part that really struck me, kind of going to your point of stand your ground, is I don't know the law that well on it. But the thing that struck me is, like, if I'm looking at and trying to assess, was this premeditated or was this contemplated ahead of time? I think there's two things that happened in here that say she's got a chance. Mm-hmm. And it is this. She fired four shots and two hit him in one room. So she's at pretty close range, and she didn't hit him in critical. Well, I mean, he bled out, it sounds like, from where she hit him. But she didn't seem to have a lot of training or practice firing that weapon. Mm-hmm. That bodes well for her. And the other thing too, what she said to the cops when they came, her ears are still ringing. Mm-hmm. What that said to me too is that I don't think she ever fired a gun before.
Sure.
And so when you have someone, in other words, if you knew and had fired a weapon before, you're going to either be ready for it, that your ears are going to be ringing for a while because you know that if you're not wearing ear protection, that'll happen. Mm-hmm. Or you're going to wear protection and you're not going to have ringing ears. Either way, she doesn't have a rep in doing what she did, it sounds like, or any practice. Like a lot of people that are so enraged by someone, they plan on taking them out. I'm going to use this gun, blah, blah, blah. Here's how I'm going to do it. Here's where I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And because of those two facts right there, I think she has a shot if people look at it that way.
And it's interesting. There's another, I think, lesson in here, albeit one of the accusations that was made against Doug early on of abuse, the judge flat out and said that the accusations of being poisoned don't possess a scintilla of truth.
Right.
Granted, it is what a judge said. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's fact. It's what she claimed, and I don't know what all the arguments were that were made as to the judge coming to that conclusion. But there had also been multiple domestic abuse claims against Doug in the years. That was not the only claim that she had made. And accused of being psychologically abusive as well. So the see something, say something, why file a report when not much is done? This is why you file a report, even if there's not going to be a lot of repercussions at that moment in time, because then there's a track record. Then there is some information out there that they can look at and go, okay, this is a pattern of behavior. This isn't just some one-off where suddenly she shot her husband. How do you think that will play into this? The ones that were filed, the domestic abuse claims, and even the one where the judge said there's not a scintilla of truth to it.
You know, Tony, you just laid it out perfectly. What you just laid out was the arc of behavior of the relationship. Yep. And this is exactly why you do what you say. It's why you document things, because you create a paper trail. And once you create a paper trail, and tragically it ended in someone's life, and tragically it was at her hands, but all the circumstances and all the evidence now, because she has that paper trail leading up to this, this is why you do exactly that. Who knows what'll happen when it goes, but it seems to, from what we know, follow a good pattern of escalation that she should be, well, we'll see, exonerated for.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member, exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.